If you would like to earn CPE credit for listening to the show, visit earmarkcpe.com/FPA. Download the app, take a short quiz, and get your CPE certificate. If you would like to earn continuing education credit for your FP&A certification from the Association of Finance Professionals for listening to the show, go to the show notes for details on how to earn the credit. Finally, if you enjoy listening to FP&A today, please go to your podcast platform of choice, click the subscribe button, and leave a rating and review of the show. And now, on to the show.
From Data Rails, this is FP&A Today.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to FP&A Today. I am your host, Paul Barnhurst, aka the FP&A guy. FP&A Today is brought to you by DataRails, the financial planning and analysis platform for Excel users. Every week, we welcome a leader from the world of financial planning and analysis. For the last 2 years, I have been saying that line every week. And today, it is with mixed emotion I share that will be changing. This is my last episode hosting FP&A Today. With that in mind, I wanted to briefly talk to you, the audience, about the last 2 years before I introduce this week's guest and future host of the show. So over the last 2 years that I have hosted FP&A Today, we have accomplished a lot. And I say we because it takes a team, DataRails, SaaSPod, the team behind us that does all the audio and video and makes me sound good and cleans up all the ums and ahs and other mistakes. So I've had amazing support along the way. We've accomplished a lot. Over the last 2 years, we've hosted over 100 episodes. This is episode 101. Along the way, we were nominated for a People's Choice Podcast Award for Best Business Podcast. We've had numerous guests from all over the world in all levels. We've had CEOs, CFOs, VPs of FP&A, analysts of FP&A, college interns. We've covered all kinds of topics, everything from how to build an FP&A shared service center to how AI will disrupt and change FP&A going forward. Now, one of the things we all learned together is that many guests have a favorite Excel formula. The number one Excel formula for our guests over these last 2 years has been VLOOKUP. Other things we've accomplished. Thanks to you, the audience, this show has become the number one FP&A podcast globally, something we're incredibly proud of. We've had nearly 250,000 downloads of the audio and a number of people who have watched the video, another 30,000 or so. You know, I've received notes nearly weekly from different people thanking me for the show or thanking me for a guest or something they learned that helped them to be a better FP&A professional. It's something I'm really proud of. It's been an amazing ride. I'm grateful for all that's been accomplished. I'm especially grateful for DataRails for giving me a chance to host this show and for being a fabulous partner. But the time has come to pass the torch to our new host. With that being said, I'm super excited to welcome back to the show, not only as the guest this week, but as the new host of FP&A Today, Glenn Hopper. Glenn, thanks for joining me.
Hey, Paul, great to see you. I'm with you in that it's kind of a bittersweet moment because I'm so used to listening to you on this podcast every week, and now you're moving on, and you're leaving some big shoes to fill, sir.
Well, I really appreciate that. I'm confident you'll do a great job and the audience will enjoy a change in voice for a while. So I'm sure you'll do fabulous. You know, I want to start by asking you a question. What have you been up to since we last chatted? I think when we had you on, it was roughly episode 50 and you had just created your generative AI using ChatGPT FP&A tool. Remember, we talked quite a bit about that. So you had just finished it. I think you had just released your article or were getting ready to release your article around that time with, I think it was Fortune or something.
Yeah, so that was really the beginning of the whirlwind that was 2023 that rolled into 2024. You know, a couple of years before that, I had written a book on using artificial intelligence and machine learning in finance. But the book, I knew when I wrote it, it wasn't a super accessible book. It was pretty niche. It was, you had to know Python and be able to write SQL queries and R and understand machine learning, which I know more and more FP&A professionals are. But, you know, the book was just something I put out there because it was important to me. Once generative AI came out and timing is kind of everything. I did that project pretty early on and that got traction and that just sort of ballooned into, I've been on more podcasts and speaking engagements and webinars in the past 12 months, probably than in my life combined before that. So it's been a whirlwind. And in the midst of all that, I've been, you know, in my consulting work, I've moved from fractional interim CFO to, you know, consulting on M&A and the sort of the traditional fractional CFO work to more and more consulting people, a lot of FP&A people on artificial intelligence implementations. And I'm working now on productizing some of these AI tools that people would be able to use in their business.
Wow, amazing. So a lot has changed. That's exciting. So what goes into helping a company, you know, get ready for AI? I'm just curious, what does that usually look like?
You think it's going to be this really cool, like high-tech thing, and it's not. It is a painful process audit is step one, because before we can use this data, we have to understand how it's being created. It's the same thing you do in FBA. It's identifying your sources of truth, understanding the data universe that you have, compiling all your data, making sure everybody's singing from the same sheet of music, and being able to report and knocking down information silos. And really, even without AI, when I my first 100 days as a CFO at a company, I come in and this is exactly what I do there too. It doesn't matter the technology it's being delivered from. We still have to get access to the data, and you can't get or understand the data until you understand your processes. So it's kind of painful. It's like a root canal, doing this. But at the end of a root canal, you have fixed teeth. And at the end of this process, you have magic AI, I guess.
You know, as a guy who's had multiple root canals, including root canals redone from the top down, I can relate to that one and the pain of it. So, you know, as I listen to you say that, it sounds like basically it's come in and audit process and data to make sure they're at a point where the data actually has value. It's not all just crap, so that the machine can give intelligent advice and analyze and make smart decisions. Because if the data isn't good, the output isn't going to be too good. It's the same old saying, regardless of what the technology is, garbage in, garbage out. Did I summarize it right?
You really did. And the funny thing is, everybody wants to AI wash what their products are right now. But I can, and they're just, oh, we have this with AI. But usually the first changes I make have nothing to do with AI. I'm not going to point anything AI related at it because I need to make sure that just the data is flowing between systems first. And truthfully, at the end of the day, if you don't have to use AI, then don't. AI is not a magic cure-all, and there's plenty that can be done without it. And there's also older, more trustworthy, reliable processes that you can get better results than you could today with AI. So AI is the buzzword, and I'm certainly going to help people get there, but not if we don't need to. I mean, it's, you know, I ride bikes and bicycles, not motorbikes. I don't think my wife would let me do that. But, I don't need to have
you
the same.
If that makes you feel better.
I don't need to have the same bike. I mean, I would love to. They look cool. But it would be absurd for me to ride the same bicycle that like the Tour de France guys ride. So AI, same way. If you're, you know, you just have a couple of systems and not a whole lot of data, we can get you a really long, long way without using AI. But when it comes time to use it, you're going to be in a much better place too if you've got all your data cleaned up. So it's really just data maturity and cleanup is what I focus on.
Yeah, I mean, it goes back to the whole thing. We've been saying it for years, whether it's AI, whether it's machine learning, whether it's analysis, is a data-driven culture is more successful as a company. The data has been overwhelmingly clear that if you use data to enhance and make smart decisions, doesn't mean every decision is made with data and doesn't mean you 100% rely on it. But if you really learn to trust the data and kind of put that first, then you're going to better be able to utilize the technology regardless of what the technology is.
Yeah, exactly. Data management, data governance, data lexicon, everything we've been talking about for years, this is just the next new tool to throw at it. So in the people who started early and built out good FP&A programs, they're miles ahead. And especially finance that wasn't just in that ivory tower of, oh no, we're just the numbers people, but finance that was stretched across the organization, business partnering, embedded FP&A, really into all the metrics across the company, not just the financial. If you already have that, you've done the lion's share of the work to get ready for AI implementation.
Yeah. So basically companies that have good FP&A, because you can only have good FP&A with good data, or say not only, but most of the time, I think almost always you have to have good data to have good FP&A, but those that have both are well positioned to be even more productive in the future.
Absolutely. And there's shorter distance to get to AI if you've already got your data house in order. Because if not, I mean, some of my clients, it's like, we come in and it's like, first off, we're going to fix your chart of accounts. So imagine the path that you have to go from that to AI.
It's the common fractional CFO. First thing you come in, they decide they need one. Okay, you've been on accrual-based accounting for 5 years and you've paid no attention to when anything's booked. So we're going to start by trying to normalize some of this and get it in the right buckets. Then we're going to redo your chart of account. Then we're going to understand your systems so that we can start working on your other data. And a year later, we can build you a good budget, or 3 months or 6 months or whatever.
You're still depreciating this desk you bought in 1978. You know, that kind of thing. It's like, what is going on?
I got to try that one on my taxes. Yeah. Oh, wait, you shouldn't be saying that. Well, that's great. So I have a few more questions here for you. And then I'm going to turn it over to you to ask me a couple questions before we end the show here. So I know you launched a LinkedIn course, Leveraging Generative AI in Finance and Accounting. So how did that come about? Why did you decide to do the course?
So it was just part of the wave. And I just, the past 12, 18 months, I've just been riding the wave. So I started doing a lot of public speaking about AI and a lot of webinars, and they actually reached out to me, and there's a big push because the LinkedIn community is wanting to learn about it. And so I feel like sales and marketing, I don't know how this happened, but they jumped so far ahead of finance people, which to me, like, we're the original BI people. Like, how did we get passed by sales and marketing in the use of machine learning? And well, I'll tell you how. It's because revenue versus back office. But they reached out and they were trying to create specific for industry and for profession courses. And I guess if I get out in public and yammer enough that I'm going to get some attention. So they reached out to me. And it's really the reason I wrote the book. I knew it wasn't going to be a bestseller when I wrote it, but I'm passionate about this stuff. And I've seen kind of the before and after. As much as I love the implementations, which it's kind of like standing up FP&A, implementations are fun the way running a marathon is fun. It's really cool when you're done.
Are we speaking from experience? Have you ran a marathon?
Yes, I've run like 25 or 26 of them at this point. So they get slower every year.
I've only run 4. You got me beat.
Yeah. I didn't know we shared that in common. So
that's what podcasts are for, to learn these things about each other.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. So I don't know. On the LinkedIn course, it was an opportunity to get a large platform where I could tell a lot of people. And we don't go deep in the weeds on the course. And I think that's okay, because there will be other opportunities and ways to do that. But really right now, my mantra has been, we don't have to understand how this monitor works to use it. I don't have to understand, how my coffee maker works to drink coffee, but with the power of, those are passive things. The power of AI that could be replacing people, could be augmenting what we do, you have to have some level of understanding of it before you can use it. So I really am passionate that I don't care what your job is, you need to understand the base. I'm not saying you have to become a data scientist or a computer developer, but you need to understand essentially what's happening. So the LinkedIn course is a great way to do that. And I've got some other courses coming out over the next 12, 18 months, some additional training and speaking and webinar kind of things going on where I hope to continue, because I think our, finance and accounting people, we're kind of laggards in a lot of technology areas. So I think, I'm going to keep getting on my soapbox and preaching that.
Love it. Great. Well, and we can definitely put a link in the show notes to your course. I know a lot of people have taken it. It's on my list of courses to take in all my free time.
Right. Yeah. I know about your free time, or lack thereof, anyway.
Yeah, I figured you'd laugh at that. You know what it is like. 13 different spreadsheets emailed out to 23 different budget holders. multiple iterations, version control, errors, back and forth updates. You never really feel in control of the consolidation and collection process. Yep, I've been there. Stop. Breathe. DataRails is the financial planning and analysis platform for Excel users. DataRails takes data from all your company's disparate sources. No organization is too complex, consolidating everything into one place, secured in the cloud. Now all your data finally talking to each other. Everything is automated back into your report in Excel. Cash flow, FX conversion, intercompany transactions, now automated and up to date. Drill down and variance analysis in seconds. Don't replace Excel, embrace Excel. Turn your Excel into a lean, mean FP&A machine. Find out more at www.datarails.com. You have been a fan of FP&A Today for a long time. Do you have a favorite episode?
So it's funny that you mentioned that. And there's so many that I'd be hard pressed to recall a name, but there was one, and I think you just did this. It was in the last 3 or 4 months. It was FP&A for companies between 5 and 50 million. And it was Duke Henninger and
John Allen.
Yes. So confession, who listens to one episode of podcast twice? I listened to that episode twice because there was so much that just resonated with me because my whole career has been in the SMB space. So the issues that they were going through are exactly the kind of ones that I did. And even like hearing them talk about doing the consulting too, could completely relate to everything. So yeah, I don't, there may be, I'll have to think back. There may be older ones that I liked a lot too, but that one in particular, it's the first one that came to mind that really resonated with me.
Was there one particular story or thing they said that stuck out, or just kind of being able to relate to the entire episode?
It was the entire episode, but also they talked about the restaurant industry, right? So that was of interest to me, having a million years ago food service background, but also talking about during that in COVID, it reminded me of when I was the CFO of a car wash business during the 08, 09 financial crisis. And it was just hearing how they went through adversity through all that. And it just, and knowing the size businesses that they were working with and how they were addressing it, it felt like we all could have been in the same room at the same time doing the exact same thing.
That's great. And if you ever want an introduction to either of them, let me know. I'm personal friends with them. I didn't just have them on the show. I know both of them well.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. You guys had great rapport on that show too. Yes.
Yeah, it helped. We know each other quite well. So that definitely helped. Last question I have for you, then I'm going to turn it over to you to see if you have any questions for me. So what made you decide to host FP&A Today? I know DataRails reached out to you and asked if you'd be interested. Why'd you say yes?
I don't know if you knew this, because I know you and I have talked a lot, but I actually, my first job out of college before I went and got my MBA, I was a journalist. So I ended up being a print journalist. You know, I was one of those guys, I've got a face for radio or face for podcast, and then a voice for print. So I was a journalist in the Navy, actually, and I was a very dedicated student back at that time. And I missed being the honor graduate, the top graduate in our whole cohort by like some fraction of a point. And the reason I missed it is there was one instructor who was from Alabama, and it was in broadcast journalism. And he had a thicker Southern accent than I did, except when he went on air, he turned into complete just Walter Cronkite, just no accent. And so he dinged me because he couldn't let go that I had a Southern accent and that I couldn't correct it on the air. So that turned me away from broadcast journalism. But now, there are so many people with podcasts that I feel like, I don't have to try to sound like Walter Cronkite, and I can come in and not try to hide my Southern accent and talk about some geeky number stuff. But, you know, people have asked me through the years if I wanted to host a podcast, and I had always said no, but there's the DataRails opportunity, the audience that this podcast has, the people I get to work with, and the subject matter, it's all just right in my wheelhouse. And I know I lean towards and I keep talking about AI, but it's all related. And it's the latest tool. It's still FP&A. Yeah. So this just seems like a great opportunity. And the kinds of people you get to talk to and in your lead up when you were talking about what you gained from it. I mean, that's my same ambition here is to gain knowledge from talking to all these brilliant people how many people are lucky enough to be able to sit around and talk to finance nerds all day, you know?
Thank you for sharing the backstory. I didn't know all of that. Funny enough, I started my career working for the Navy. I was civilian, but I was stationed on a Navy base. So it sounds like we have a few things in common, the marathons, the Navy, the podcast. So that's great. A lot of fun. But you'll do great, Glenn. I'm sure of that. I mean, the audience is in good hands and I'm excited to see where you take it to new heights. But before we end, any questions you want to ask me? Here's your chance to play host.
Yeah, I thought about it. It would be funny if my first time I tried to ask a question, if I just froze up like a deer in the headlights and just freak out the data rails people. We've made a terrible mistake. But yeah, so you asked me, and you're certainly, this may be a harder question for you, but do you have a favorite episode?
So I have an episode that's very personal to me, and it's my favorite for that. Not that I think I did the best job interviewing or that it was the most listened to episode, but we did an episode on mental health. We had on two ladies that talked about the importance of taking care of yourself mentally and making sure that you take care of your employees and focus on their mental health. And that's passionate to me because I've lost a brother to mental health. I've lost other family members. It's something I've dealt with. So that is my favorite episode because it's very personal. I mean, I've shared this quite a bit on LinkedIn and I'm open about it. You know, I had a brother that unfortunately took his own life. And so anything I can do to help in that area is something I'm deeply passionate about.
Wow. And it's one of those things that in a work environment, it's hard, you know, you don't talk about it a lot. So for you to be able to bring that to the listeners here and to have that vulnerability, but also to broadcast that it's okay. It's not just okay. It's we should be talking about this. This should be important. And that's a great thing about the power of this podcast, that you were able to take an important message like that and bring that to the listeners and viewers. So that's incredible.
Well, thank you. It's definitely it's a message I share on LinkedIn and one I'm passionate about that we all need to talk about.
That's great. And I know you're going to continue on here. I don't know all the details, but what's next for you? Where are you headed post FP&A today here? What do you got going on? I know you've got a lot of things going on.
You know, a lot of exciting things. I'm currently working on some course content for the new Wall Street Prep certificate that's coming. I think you're also doing a little bit around that. That's a conjunction between Wharton and Wall Street Prep that Christian Wittig's working on. I also am, you know, have my third generation market guide that will be out by the time this is released. It'll be coming out just before then. I'm also going to be continuing to do some podcasts on my own. So I'm really excited about that. You know, you can always check those out. And then continuing to train companies and build community and be a voice out there for FP&A and how we can make it better.
That's great. I mean, you're the FP&A guy. So no matter where you go, you're going to be the FP&A, FP&A
exactly.
guy. So,
I'm going to be the FP&A guy. People can still find me. I'll still be talking about business partnering and all those things that make great FP&A.
All right, three lightning round questions because I know you're a little bit pressed for time today. So the first one is, and I'm putting you on the spot here. We're going to test your creative mind. If you're the FP&A guy, I don't have a nickname. What should I be?
The dude.
Yeah. All right. I was going to say you might have been thinking of something you couldn't say on air.
But I can see the AI dude, the AI guy. I threw out a few names. There you go.
Okay. Next, just real quick, and we can throw it in the show notes too, obviously. But how can people stay in touch with you past FP&A today?
Yeah. So of course they can find me on LinkedIn. That's probably the easiest way. They can also go to my website, thefpnaguy.com, and people can email me, pbarnhurst@thefpnaguy.com. I'm always around, so feel free to find me on any of those platforms.
Awesome. All right. Last question. You ready?
I'm ready.
What is your favorite Excel function?
You know, it's not a function. It's a feature. Power Query.
Nice.
And I love OnPivot. If I had to pick something in Power Query, I love me some OnPivot.
Excellent. Well, now we know. So am I closing out the show? Or are you closing out the show? I don't have an outro written. So I don't.
Let's get ready. One, two, three. No, I'll go ahead and take us out. Well, thank you, Glenn, for interviewing me and for being a guest as well. In closing, I just want to sign off for one last time. say thank you for being a loyal listener for the last 2 years. What a great opportunity. The show's in great hands with Glenn. I'm confident he'll do fabulous things and take it to new heights. And with that, we'll say goodbye. Signing off for the last time, FP&A guy.
Thanks, Paul.